This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
Good afternoon. We're here today with Dr. Catherine Bliss. Dr. Bliss is Deputy Director and Senior Fellow in the Global Health Policy Center at CSIS. She's also a Senior Fellow in the Americas Program. Recently, Dr. Bliss edited and contributed to a report entitled Key Players in Global Health: How Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa are influencing the game. Dr. Bliss, thank you so much for joining us today. Are the BRICS countries that have traditionally embraced global health? And if so, how?
The term BRIC was originated to refer to Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And so in this report, we included South Africa because we see this as a group of countries that are emerging economic powerhouses, which in many cases are also using their newfound wealth to support a broad range of overseas development activities, including especially those on health. But what's interesting is that, you know, in many cases, most of these countries have been involved in global health activities one way or another since the middle of the 20th century, if not before. And this is as members of regional and international organizations focused on health, such as the World Health Organization, or in the case of Brazil, as a member of the Pan American Health Organization, which was actually started in the early part of the 20th century. Some of these countries in the 1950s created international cooperation agencies. Brazil and India, for example, created these agencies originally to channel funds from donor countries to their own national agencies and projects. But since 1987, Brazil has had an agency focused on its external cooperation and the provision of Brazilian support to other countries. And similarly, India has long organized technical assistance missions to serve other neighboring countries as well. And then we also see that in the case of China, I mean, China has been carrying out medical missions around the world since the 1960s, and that began with its support for Algeria in the context of its independent struggle with France.
Although the BRICS are all engaged in global health activities, the paper mentions that each country is motivated by different things. Can you explain this?
When we began to look at the ways in which each of these different countries is engaged on global health issues and how they have chosen to express their interest in global health and their relationships on global health with other countries, it became very clear that each country's history and legal framework and relationships with other countries, both in their region and internationally, was very important. In Brazil's case, for example, the Constitution of 1988 asserts that health is a human right. That has influenced the development of the universal health system in Brazil and inspires Brazil's work to share its experience in developing that system and in developing national institutes of health with other countries. It also inspires Brazil's work around the idea that health should be in all policies, and so that influences the position that they have taken in a number of diplomatic negotiations, as well as in their own bilateral work with other countries, you know, asserting that economics and trade should not necessarily trump ideas or imperatives related to health. In Russia's case, some of the work that appears in this project shows that Russia is really working to reassert a donor identity in recent years. For many years under Soviet rule, Russia was very much engaged in research and external relations around health, but in the 1990s found itself becoming more of a recipient country during that period. Russia is now working to really reassert both its research on health and its engagement on health in other countries. And so in Central Asia, Russia has really been focused on working in those countries to strengthen health systems and to focus in particular on HIV, because Russia sees migration from those countries into Russia as a potential source of infectious diseases and concern for its own population. In the case of China, as I mentioned earlier, China's been engaged on global health and sending medical missions to countries around the world since the 1960s. And this really came out of some of the ideology of the revolution in China around the struggle against imperialism. China has long supported other countries that it sees as kind of fellow travelers on the development track and those that are engaged in similar kinds of struggles. But China is also frequently seen to use its relationships on health and the activities on health that it carries out and what it offers to other countries around the construction of health clinics and hospitals and other things as very much linked to its economic relationships and its trade alliances. And one way that we see this is that in China, it's actually the Ministry of Commerce that has the lead when it comes to organizing overseas work on health. In India, by contrast, the theme of innovation is key. India has carried out kind of technical cooperation with other countries for many decades, but in the earlier part of the 21st century, stated that India no longer wants to receive support from donor countries, you know, to the government itself. It wants to see those funds channeled to NGOs instead. What the Indian government is now doing is really working to foster and bolster and support its private sector work on healthcare and to support the role that private foundations and hospitals and others can do in attracting international visitors to India for the purposes of medical tourism. And India is also working to share what it's developed in terms of diagnostics and pharmaceutical production and other kinds of things with other countries. South Africa presents yet a different case. South Africa, like many of the other countries I've talked about, has world-class research capacities. And the laboratories and hospitals in South Africa focus on diseases of national and regional significance. South Africa regularly hosts international health conferences to shine a light on the work that the country is doing with respect to research on diseases of national and international significance, and also on the challenges that both South Africa and the African continent as a whole face, and has really used its position to serve as an advocate for regional health issues.
What types of internal capacities and institutions do the BRICS have to implement global health initiatives, and how does this compare to the United States?
All of these countries have invested significantly in health-related research and development. And this, you know, whether we're talking about, you know, Brazil or India or South Africa, you know, this relates to the production of pharmaceuticals and vaccines. And many countries, many of the countries that we're talking about here, really see the important role that health can play as an engine of industrial and economic development. But when it comes to external relations and overseas work on global health issues, particularly when it comes to cooperation on global health, one challenge that almost all of these countries face is the fact that there's really not a core of trained health or development personnel who have a mandate and a purpose to carry out that work. Brazil has had the Brazilian Cooperation Agency established since 1987. And that agency is part of Brazil's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, but very much relies on Ministry of Health personnel to carry out the projects that it develops in cooperation and in consultation with partner governments overseas. And one issue is that there's actually a limitation, a legal limitation, on the Brazilian government's use of public funds to support another government. So whereas in the United States, we might have an appropriation that, you know, we have the United States Agency for International Development, which receives appropriations directly for carrying out that work through its missions and through its projects in foreign countries. In the case of Brazil, that allocation has to be done on a country-by-country and project-by-project basis. So it leads to a situation where, you know, despite, you know, broader goals and the intent to carry out comprehensive work on health, much of it has to be done in a fairly ad hoc basis, which means that to some extent it can be limited, you know, in terms of its sustainability in the long term. Russia similarly has, you know, had for a very long time significant research capacity and has historically engaged very much on global health and overseas development and cooperation issues. It has reasserted global health as one of its key priorities in recent years, but like Brazil, Russia has relatively few trained development personnel who can carry out the overseas work in a sustainable manner. Russia is currently working with both the United Nations Development Program and the World Bank to develop its capacity for implementing, monitoring, and evaluating projects, and so is really seeking to bolster its capacity and its ability to carry out this work in the long term. When it comes to China, since the 1960s, China has been sending health personnel overseas, so whether doctors, nurses, practitioners of traditional Chinese medicine, and others. China also has contributed to the construction of hospitals and clinics in Africa and parts of the Middle East and you know, to some extent other regions, certainly in Southeast Asia as well. Similarly, there's no cadre of professionals working in China that, you know, have as a developed kind of mission or mandate to carry out that work of overseas development. Similarly, there's really not an overarching coordinating body in China that has, you know, kind of the mandate to develop a vision and a strategic view for what China's work overseas on global health issues will look like. And so, you know, with the the lack of kind of coordinating bodies, the lack of sustainable or, you know, professional development personnel, and in some cases, limitations in terms of the allocation of resources, financial resources, for work on global health. Some of the countries that are seeking to become more actively engaged on global health issues will face some challenges in the short term. But what's interesting is that many of them are aware of these issues. They are working to develop training programs to build their capacity to carry out monitoring and evaluation to ensure that their programs are positive and having an impact. And so I think in the longer term, they will be likely to overcome some of these hurdles and challenges and be able to more significantly contribute to the global health agenda.
Thank you so much for joining us today. For anyone interested in reading the full report, please go to www.smartglobalhealth.org and click publications.